Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
China and the U.S. prepare to negotiate even while they exchange escalating threats. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The president tweeted this morning that if countries will not make fair deals with us, they will be tariffed. And indeed, the president appears set to implement tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods this week, though he may lower the threatened rate from 25% down to 10%, according to the Wall Street Journal. China, meanwhile, reiterated it would retaliate. A former Chinese finance minister suggested China could disrupt American companies' supply chains by just refusing to export certain things. And some U.S. firms have already complained that it's gotten harder to get licenses in China. Amidst the threats, U.S. and Chinese officials are planning negotiations this week in Washington. And let's do the numbers. The Hang Seng is down 1.3%. Dow S&P and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1-2% range, with the Dow future down 33 points. Switzerland's financial watchdog group FINMA has found corruption at global bank Credit Suisse. Marketplace's Erica Barris is following this.
FINMA says Credit Suisse didn't do enough to stop corruption in cases involving football league FIFA, Brazilian oil company Petrobras, and Venezuelan oil company Petroleos de Venezuela. Things like getting proper documentation. Because of those findings, Credit Suisse will now be overseen by an independent monitor. FINMA also said Credit Suisse didn't fight money laundering while managing a, quote, significant business relationship for the bank with a politically exposed person. And instead of disciplining a relationship manager who breached the bank's compliance regulations, Credit Suisse rewarded him with payments and positive reviews. FINMA has determined the bank take remedial steps, but under Swiss law doesn't have the power to impose fines. But it does plan to commission a third party to make sure improvements happen. Credit Suisse has acknowledged the rulings and has commissioned its own review of the incidents.
Thanks, Erica. McDonald's workers in 10 U.S. cities plan to go on strike tomorrow during lunch to protest alleged incidents of sexual harassment on the job. A survey of fast food workers suggests harassment is widespread. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
40% of female fast food workers told a poll that they face sexual harassment at work. The survey from 2016 was commissioned by three groups, including the nonprofit Futures Without Violence. General Counsel Linda Seabrook says fast food personnel often know very little about workplace rules.
There's inadequate training of fast food staff and managers. And it's also it's a client-facing environment.
So a customer who is considered always right may be emboldened to cross the line. McDonald's, which faces at least 10 complaints, stated there is no place for harassment of any kind at its restaurants. Sharon Tejani of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund says there should be more supervisor accountability.
If you look at some of the allegations in the McDonald's case that we're talking about, you know, supervisors knew about this, they laughed it off, or they participated in it.
The company said it takes allegations of sexual harassment very seriously. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is looking into them. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Last week, U.S. Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Scott Gottlieb threatened to pull certain e-cigarettes from the market if manufacturers and retailers didn't take steps to stop kids from vaping. But what about states? What have states been doing? Tom Scheck with American Public Media's investigative unit, APM Reports, has been exploring this. Good morning, Tom.
Hey there.
So can we just remind everyone why we care about vaping? You know, it is a lot safer than actual cigarettes. The National Academies of Sciences said they haven't found long-term health effects. Why should we be concerned?
Some scientists have warned that there have been not enough studies done on the long-term effects because e-cigarettes are relatively new products, so sometimes it takes time to see whether or not there are long-term effects. The other issue is high nicotine addiction rates worry researchers because e-cigarettes could become a gateway to traditional smoking, and that's one of the concerns out there as well.
So why are the feds moving now?
Well, one of the main reasons is school officials and parents have been raising concerns over the last year or two that kids are vaping at higher and higher levels. And FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb hinted during his news conference last week that this preliminary data that they collect show a dramatic uptick in youth vaping, and that data is going to be released in the next few months. And so that's why the feds are acting now, because they want to get ahead of this.
Cigarette companies, real cigarette companies, paid over $100 billion to states as part of a settlement in a massive tobacco suit years ago. Do we know if any states are using any of that money to keep kids off of e-cigarettes?
Well, only 12 are spending money directly through public service announcements, social media campaigns, or other paid media to warn kids about the dangers of e-cigarettes. And of those 12, just 2 have spent more than $1 million on those campaigns. That's a far cry from the millions that tobacco companies and e-cigarette companies are using to market their products.
Every state has some kind of tax on regular, combustible, normal cigarettes, but very few tax e-cigarettes. Why is that?
Combustible cigarettes are considered the most dangerous product out there. And so what public health officials, some of them are doing, is they're trying to market or at least allow adults who smoke traditional cigarettes to use e-cigarettes. And they say they may not be 100% safe, but they're safer than combustible cigarettes. So they're trying to allow for adults to use those. If you tax that, adults may be less inclined to take that step.
What you're saying is there's a fine balance because e-cigarettes are better than regular cigarettes, so they want to promote current smokers to switch to e-cigarettes. But on the other hand, they don't want non-smokers, especially kids, taking up e-cigarettes because they're certainly worse than not smoking at all.
Right, and that's the big fear. And it's this balancing act that the public health community is actually quite frankly arguing about at this time.
Tom Scheck, reporter with APM Reports. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.